Today, I'm sitting here, and this morning, actually, I just come from the food bank, and Miss Marie and I just finished cleaning the building, and I put away most of the food. And Shelly did show up and help do the rest.
Oh, good.
And so I'm sitting here and contemplating just some things, and all of a sudden, I see this couple walk by. And the guy got tattoos, I mean chest, arms. He's bald-headed, white guy. The lady's wealth can easily been a supermodel. And so they stop, as they're walking by, and they look at the building. And I'm looking at them now. And next thing I know, she walks in the building. And he comes in behind her. And when he started talking, and I knew he had an accent. I recognize that accent. And he started talking about the Lord. You cannot judge a book
by its cover.
He had the big old earring, the big old things in the earring. But his was solid, so it was a little bigger than the average earring, about that high, I guess. Tattoos everywhere. But when he spoke, you know how I tell y'all sometimes I feel electricity going through me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole time he was speaking, I felt the Spirit just falling on me. And he loved the Lord Jesus Christ dearly. And his wife, when she spoke, same thing. They were Holy Ghost filled brothers and sisters in Christ from England. And his name is Nate Natty. The last name will come to me in a minute. But he instantly became a friend of mine on Facebook and wrote about what happened here today between us. And we prayed together. And they're here until Monday. And come to find out, her family, her dad, let me slow down. Her grandparents were from England, but they came over here. And her dad was born in Florida. And then they went back to England. And he was raised in England, but he actually is a U.S. citizen. Hmm. He's a Floridian. Born here, raised there. But she come to visit her family. And he said they only been married a week, so they've been on their honeymoon for a week. Hmm. But what touched me was the fact that he recognized this type of ministry right away. He said, marketplace ministry. He said, that's where it needs to be. And then he started... What captured my heart was they were walking down the streets here praying for our country. Praying for our country. And then when we came on Facebook, buddy, I seen where he had tagged me, and one of his buddies back in England said, wow, what a great fella, talking about me. And he said, I can't wait till you get back and hear your stories. And he said, and his buddy said, that's exactly what we need over here. What we're doing here. And we don't think we're having an impact. Look at it. Now, this is going to have impact around another part of the world.
Did you tell them about our Bible studies on podcasts?
You know, I did not.
Well, you can tell them on Facebook.
I can tell them on Facebook. But I did tell them we have Bible studies, and he said, is there a place where I can come? And I told him we're having Bible studies tonight, but that probably not too many people are going to be here because of the backpack stuff giveaway tonight. And I also told him, he said, well, I would love to come and talk with your group. He's a phenomenal speaker. He graduated from seminary in England. And looking at this guy, you think it was some kind of biker guy or something. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know what? Have a heart of an angel. Mm. Love Lord Jesus with all his heart. Love people. And I told him that we had just had this kind of conversation ourselves about you all going out meeting strangers and talking to them about the Lord. And one of the things, you remember when I told you all, do not invite people to church anymore? Invite them to who?
Jesus.
To Jesus. He even said that. He said, they tell people, don't invite people to church. Church is nothing without Jesus. He said, tell them to come to Jesus. Invite them to come to Jesus. And so, and what an amazing meeting by the Holy Spirit, how he brought us together today. And I told him about Sunday, what we do on Sunday, then that he could actually come and spoke this Sunday. I would have allowed it. But he said they're going to be at, I think, the girl's uncle's church, something speaking. Man, what a treat that would have been from God to allow him to come and talk to you all, us. Okay? And who knows, could open up a mutual relationship for me to fly to England and speak. It may still happen. Don't know what the Holy Spirit has in store for them. And so, what a blessing this past Sunday. Did y'all see what happened in here Sunday?
No.
I'm not talking about any specific group of people. I'm talking about what the Spirit of the Living God did here Sunday. Do you all realize we had a Holy Ghost filled service Sunday? And the place was packed. And the anointing fell on this place. Sister, you may not recognize that, but the Holy Spirit hit you on that piano, and I've never seen you throw song sheets like you did and say, no, we're not going to sing that one. We're going to sing this one. And the Spirit will flow. And I reached over and leaned to Clinton. I said, Clinton, she's playing under the anointing. And next thing I know, Miss Marie was up. Yeah. Getting down for the Lord. Yes. That's what I told him would happen when God's people submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the worship service. When you allow the Spirit of the Living God to move you, it is amazing worship. And that's why I had told you, Miss Vicky, make sure you take us to the throne room. Because that's what it's all about. Amen. It's not about us. It's about being in the presence of the Lord. And that's that's one of our responsibilities, is to make sure, Deacon, that we take God's people into the presence of the Lord. Even in a setting like this, Jesus Christ must be the center. Sunday, that portion of Sunday's message was a very difficult message to preach. But to get it down to where people can understand it in its simplicity, because God gave it as a simplicity to Paul. And Luke wrote it down. As clever as Luke is, and sometimes it's hard to follow his writings. We used Luke's writing, the Gospel of Luke, in advanced Greek, because that's what it is. It's very difficult, very complex Greek to follow. But God, by His Spirit, is able to take that which is complex and make it simple. Amen? And I told you all, I have dedicated my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to understanding the Word of God. And I'm going to give it to you as He gave it to me. And I tell you here lately, boy, He's been opening my mind to like, whoa, look at that. And you all are hungry for the Word of God. And tonight, we're going to finish up chapter 11, and we're going to go into chapter 12. And you're going to see some things that's just Miss Marie, it's no other than Greek language. It's going to blow your mind when you see what this man writes in chapter 12. We're going to go hastily through the rest of chapter 11, because it's just mainly Paul repeating stuff that we went over already. And that's okay. And then from there. But pray for our country. There's a spirit of division among us. But God's people are not to fix our eyes on that which is not holy. Fix our eyes on Jesus. And let me tell you, when we do that, we'll see where the Spirit is working in the middle of chaos. And I'm going back through the book of Revelation right now, Sister Vicky, and you have a lot of questions about Revelation. And the stuff that I thought I had been taught by the Spirit, boy, you should see what He's been showing me lately. Going, whoa! Look at that. I thought I understood this. No. Whoa! It's mind-boggling to see the mysteries of God unfold right before you. And God, wow. Did y'all ever get that? Oh, yeah. He's telling His bride to get ready. Here's the thing, and I'm not going to rush through anything. I'm just going to take my time with you all. he is telling us to walk in holiness.
Do you think history has repeated itself?
No, ma'am. I think God's will has been fulfilled. I believe prophecies are being fulfilled.
People are crazy.
People were crazy before the flood.
Yeah.
Okay? And people are crazy today.
Yeah.
And they ignore Enoch. Look in the read in the book of Jude how Enoch preached the gospel to them and they ignored him. And he told them there's going to be a day of judgment. You better get right with God. But they ignored Enoch. That righteous man of God who God took. And so, we got to make sure that we understand the difference between sin and holiness. Holiness from God is obeying all of God's commandments, not just some in part, all of them, what Lord Jesus said. And he told you and I very adamantly, and there's a spirit out there that's preaching that all of your sins been washed away at the moment that you got saved. Yes, you're right. But also, he said, at that moment of salvation, I want you to stop sinning from here on. Amen. Yes, I did wash away your sins, but it doesn't mean I want you to continue to be filthy and live in sin. Because the Lord has been dealing with me. You know the passage I taught you not long ago, Miss Vicki, in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, where God said, all souls belong to me. The soul of the Father belongs to me. The soul of the Son belongs to me. And the soul that sins shall die. Do you remember last week when we talked about in Ezekiel chapter 33 about what happens, how God wants the sinner man, the wicked man, to repent? And he kept saying that over and over and over again in that chapter. Why? He said, as I live, saith the Lord, in verse 11, he said, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why? Because when you leave this world as a sinner, you're going straight into eternal punishment. Mm-hmm. There's no escaping it. So to tell people they're covered in grace, yes, you are if you're walking in holiness. The grace calls you to walk in holiness if you listen to the Spirit.
Uh-huh. That talks about all that in, did you say Ezekiel chapter
33. And then in chapter 3, starting at verse 17, he tells you about two kinds of people. He talks to you all and us, all of us, about a man who is walking in sin. And you don't go and warn him. He said, that man I'll deal with. He said, but his blood will be at your hands.
Because you knew.
Right.
And then he talked about, there's a man who's a righteous man. Who decided that he doesn't want to obey God anymore, but live in sin. And God said, you go and warn him. You say, you go and warn the formerly righteous one. And tell him to stop sinning and turn back to me. He said, you go and tell him that. He said, if he does not listen to you and turn from his sin, he said, I will trip him up. That's what I'm telling you. It's clear as day. God said, I will trip him up. Oh, he'll throw a stumbling block before him and cause him to fall. Although he's going to die in his sin. And he said, his righteousness, I will remember no more. Whoa.
So
that?
You can lose your.
Oh, we're gonna look at that in a moment.
So
I'm glad you said that.
Salvation.
What he just said to you and I, that I'm telling you, he just said to you and I, don't be playing with sin, thinking that God is gracious and that he won't hold you accountable for it. Because if you don't believe. When people, here's the thing, Ms. Vicki. When people don't fully accept the atonement of the cross, what Jesus did for you and I, that took away our sins, and decide that, okay, I can go and do whatever I want. You're not taking the atonement serious. Because the blood did take away your sins. So why do you go back and live in the life of sin again? Why would you want to mess with God like that? That's the part that gets you in trouble with God. Because God said it very carefully, and he's been saying it all along. The soul that sins shall die. However, he said, if you can go and get your friend to turn back from sin, he said, you've just saved the soul. And they say, love covers a multitude of
sin.
You know it, don't you? Because that's what you're giving them. When you go to your brother or sister and say, look, God knows what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Jesus, the Son of God, knows what you're doing. Stop it. Repent of this. Come back to Jesus and live. Because remember one of the statements that God said in verse 11 in Ezekiel chapter 33. He said, oh, wicked man, why should you die? Why should you die? Why? So this is a very powerful thing. Well, what do we need to do then? We need to submit to God. As James said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Cleanse your mind, James says, you double-minded man.
Just say, devil, Jesus is with me, so you better get out of my life.
That's right. And James also said, draw close to God, and God will draw what?
Close to you.
And that's why Paul said, walk with the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh, because the flesh loves to sin. There's pleasure in sin, but a nasty, eternal results of it that leads you to death. Why did you think Paul wrote this letter to the Romans church? He wasn't writing to unsaved people. Every one of Paul's letters were not written to unsaved people. These were saved people. And if they shared it with unsaved people, super, 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 so that they can hear and be saved. But as dominant people were saved people. For the wages of sin is
death.
There's a payment for sin. I'm here to tell you, God is holy. Jesus, the Son of God, is holy. The Spirit of God is holy. Why do you think he become grieved when we sin against God? Because it hurts the Holy Ghost's feelings when we, who were once washed in the blood of the Lamb and cleaned up by Jesus, decided that we want to commit this sin. And remember that when the Spirit of Christ comes in us, when the Holy Ghost comes in, he's not coming into an unclean vessel, because the blood has now cleaned that vessel up. Are y'all following me? Mm-hmm. Once that takes place, the Holy Spirit, by the will of God, comes into every vessel that Jesus has cleansed by his blood. And it takes residence in us. And when we sin, we just brought an alien force back into us. Well, force may be the bad word, but a darkness that's not supposed to be there, because the Spirit of God is pure light. Okay? Jesus himself said in his very first sermon, he said, men love darkness rather than what? Light. Why? He said they won't come to the light so that their deeds can be exposed. Okay? Now, as we look at this word exposed in English, it's kind of a little bit convoluted in the sense of what the message Jesus is trying to get across to us. I probably would have used another word if I was the translators. The word exposed there means that Jesus will take, when you come to him and confess your sins with a repentant heart, he, the light, will shine on that darkness. And wherever the light shines, it gets rid of what? The darkness. That's what it said, that your sins are exposed. In other words, dispose of, get rid of it, gone, vanish, okay? By Jesus' presence himself. And so, he said, that's why evil men, wicked men, bad men don't want to come to him, because it requires them to come under the light. And when they come to him, he's going to do something about that darkness. Mm-hmm. You're not going to remain the same. And there's little sister back there, and I talked earlier today, the woman who was a prostitute, that was caught, not prostitute, the adulteress, that was caught in the very act, and the crowd brought her to Jesus. You remember he was sitting in the temple complex, and they brought this woman saying, Master, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And the law of Moses says she should be stoned. But what say you? But it was waiting. Mm-hmm. So first of all, he knew their intent. It wasn't a woman of adultery that they wanted to deal with. They wanted to catch him in a lie. Or maybe not necessarily a lie, but a different view on the law of Moses. Okay? So that they can have something to accuse him of. But he knew in the darkness that was in their heart. He exposed them right away. Did he not?
Sure.
Now in this context, the word exposed can be used correctly. He said, he who is what? Without
sin.
Without what?
Sin.
What? Are y'all mumbling?
I said sin.
I just want to make sure I'm hearing y'all right.
Pick up the
first. Without sin.
Can pick up the first.
Pick up the first. He said, you... They already had the stones. He used in Greek, he used the word ekbalo, meaning cast
the first stone.
The first stone. He said, you kill her first.
No one picked up the stones.
Okay, they already had the stones.
But they didn't use it.
They didn't use it.
Why?
They were
because the moment they threw that stone, God was going to throw his stones at them in judgment. Because now they're condemning the woman for sin that they even had in their own hearts. Mm-hmm. And Lord Jesus was saying to an entire crowd, not one of you are innocent.
But where was the man?
And yeah, they were hypocritical, wasn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, what was so powerful in that, when the Lord said to this woman, he said, woman, where are your accusers?
Not there.
She said, no one. They're gone, Lord. They're gone. What was his reply again, Chrissy?
Go. Don't
sin. Before that?
Don't say don't worry.
When he asked her, he said, where are your accusers? She said, no one, Lord. And he said, neither do I. Then he said, what, Chrissy?
Go and sin
no more. Would God tell you to do something that wasn't possible? Would God really play with you like that?
No.
When it comes to the most critical thing about life, sin, the very thing that separates us from God. All right? What about the man at the pool of Bethesda that had been laying there for 38 long years? Crippled, unable to throw himself in the water when the angel of the Lord came down and troubled the water once a year. What happened to that man when Lord Jesus healed him? What did Lord Jesus say to this man?
It wasn't the result of his
sin. What did he tell him though? What did he say to him? He says something very powerful. You find it in John chapter 5, little sister. He said something very, very powerful to this man. But you don't hear preachers preaching this in church. The Holy Ghost has told me, put on my heart, to start preaching and teaching this to you. Because some of you are playing with God. And he told me to preach it to myself, so that I would stop playing with God too and walk in holiness. He told that man, go and what?
Sin no more.
Then, unlike the woman that was brought to him in chapter 7, what happened in chapter 5? He said, go and sin no more unless a worse thing come upon you. Ooh. But people don't want to hear this kind of teaching today, because they want to hear that grace has taken care of all of my sins. I said a prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart, but there's no daily walk with the Lord. There is no daily sacrifice, none whatsoever. How are you? And so we have to be very, very mindful about this thing called sin. Teach them little girls and them little boys about sin. And teach them how to identify behaviors that's not pleasing to God. Here's another aspect, and we're going to go into the Lord in prayer. Jesus Christ is not different than God when it comes to holiness.
Amen.
And if you don't think that Jesus won't hurt humans, if you don't think Jesus will not kill humans before the judgment, go back and read in Revelation and see what he does. He is the one giving the commands to the angels to hurt humans. He's the one giving the command, even allow demon spirit, for the angels to release demons to hurt humans. Mary's little boy, that you like to look at during Christmas time in the manger and sing all the wonderful songs about him? Let's keep it real. I've got to be straight with it. He's going to kill thousands upon thousands of humans. Different picture. Just in case you didn't know this, he was the same Jesus that went to the cross for our sins. Mm-hmm. He was the same Jesus that now that he's back in heaven, praying to the Father. He's the one that, you know the term mediator? What's another word for mediator?
Facilitator.
What did you say, sweetheart?
Facilitator.
What did she say? I didn't hear the word.
Facilitator.
Facilitator?
An ambassador.
Yeah, I could use that. I could use facilitator. But more from a law standpoint of view, an advocate, an arbitrator,
Okay, someone that stands in a legal matter between God and us. And he's doing that role. So he's the same Jesus that walked the streets and loved people and held lepers and held babies and, you know, all this wonderful things that he did when he was here.
A messenger?
Yeah, he was also God's messenger. When Moses talked about him in Deuteronomy chapter 18, that God would raise up from among the Israelites, their descendants. Then Moses used the word brothers. He said God will raise up a prophet. A prophet is what? God's messenger. Okay? Even over in the book of Micah, even in Zechariah, all those, Jesus is known as God's messenger also. And so when he comes, he will give the gospel of God to the world. Right? Now, he did that, did he not? And he's making sure that same gospel message is taken from generation to generation. That's why you're hearing it today. All right? Let's take it a step further. That Jesus is now in heaven. People, he's not going to the cross again for your sins. You will never be beaten again. Are you all hearing me? God is not going to allow any unclean thing to touch his son again. And when the writer of Hebrews says, now if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and came with a recompense. The word recompense means that there's a vengeance by God for ignoring his messengers. You remember Zechariah in the temple? John the Baptist's dad? Anybody? When he doubted the angel, what was the angel's name?
Gabriel.
That he and his wife, Elizabeth, was going to have a child in their old age? Mm-hmm. Because John's father had doubted this angel, the angel gave him his resume right then and there. What was the resume that the angel gave him? He said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. My. And basically, he just said, you don't know who you're messing with. You don't realize who you just doubted. He said, I'm the one that stands in front of God, and God gives me this word directly to bring to you. And you now have doubted God. And because of that, you are now unable to speak until the child is born. And immediately, what happened to Zechariah? He could not speak. So the writer of Hebrews said, now, if the word spoken by an angel came with a recompense, remember, recompense means payback. Okay? How much more God is going to get those who trample his son under their feet? Meaning, we don't have to... Bible study. We don't have to understand or obey Jesus. We don't have to do what he says. We don't have to do any of that stuff. But people, when Jesus' whole court, it's going to be a lot of sad souls. And a lot of those are going to be ones who come to church every Sunday and go to Bible study. Are y'all hearing me? Mm-hmm. People, in the old days, if God's sacred word was interrupted like this, y'all would be in serious trouble by God. Whatever work y'all got to get done, coordinate it before Bible study. You don't monkey around with sacred moments like this. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your living word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you being the Lamb of God, came and took away our sins. And because you came and died for us all, it does not give us, as Christy said earlier, ticket to continue in sin. That applies to her, that applies to me, it applies to everyone who professes you as Lord. Lord, today, you're telling your church to come back to holiness. And that's what this man is teaching a church that was, their behavior was not in compliance with your commandments. And he had to tell them about who he represents and how you work through him. This man, Paul. And Father, today in the 21st century, there are still people who are not taking your word seriously and who don't believe, Lord God, that you do not lack sin and that you deal with us. Unless we repent, we're not going to go into the kingdom of God as sinners. It's just not going to happen. And it doesn't matter what any denomination teaches. Now, I'm not saying that a person can lose their salvation. I'm telling them, don't sin against you, Lord God, because you're holy. And Lord Jesus, what you do with that, that's your judgment call. But I certainly don't want to be responsible for the blood of these people on my hands. Because, God, I can't deal with an eternal sentence in the lake of fire. I want to be with you and Lord Jesus. And these people, I believe in my heart, want to be with you too, Lord Jesus, and to look upon God's glory and love him face to face. So I'm asking you, dear Lord, to help us and forgive us for our sins and strengthen our hearts, strengthen our spirits, so that we will not sin against you as you teach us your word tonight. Have your way, Lord. And I understand that the city is passing out backpacks and things, Lord. I understand that. But Father, it's no excuse for interrupting your word. These are the most sacred moments in the universe when men and women and boys and girls could come and listen to the word of God. And so, Lord Jesus, forgive us for this. And I will ask in you, Lord, to have your way as your spirit continues to teach us. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I was being a wise guy when I threw the German up there, just having some fun with Miss Marie and Miss Vicky.
But you scared me too.
But the man saying in 2 Corinthians 11, he's saying in verse 16, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast in myself a little. In chapter 12, he's going to do some boasting. And you're going to look at some things from Paul in this. Things are pretty cynical in Corinth. And Paul is not there, but he's writing this letter. So, look over on the NIV side. And this self-confident boasting I'm not talking about as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. So, you know how people like to brag on themselves? Look at what I've done. Look what I can do. Even among God's people. When we brag, I think the irresponsibilities of a church is when we start counting baptisms.
than the number of people saved. For a while there, my wife would tell you, I was tracking the number of people we were serving here. And I would post it on the windows and things. And after a while, I started feeling like, look what me and Shelly has done. Look what me and Belinda has done. Look what we have done. We serve this time period, this number of hundreds of kids and adults. Who's not getting the credit? Yeah. Is that what God wants? Because he wrote and had the prophet Isaiah to write. He said, my glory I will not share with another. Neither give my peace to idols. And I believe that's like Isaiah 42, verse 8, something like that. And he goes on to tell, Paul said, but you know what? You want to come at me this way? I may be a little foolish, but it's actually he's going to give a testimony. So you want to doubt my credibility as an apostle? Because that's what this whole story is about right now. People are doubting his credibility, his credentials as an apostle. Okay? He wasn't performing any miracles. Oh, bro, they should not have said that, because what happened in Ephesus?
Was.
Hey, huh? Mm-hmm. When he prayed over handkerchiefs and sent them out and people were filled with the Holy Ghost and demons came out of people when the handkerchief touched. Woo! What about in Philippi when the girl, the Philippian girl that had the spirit of divination in her and was crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who knows the way of salvation, hear them. And after she done that many days, Paul being grieved in the spirit turned around and it says, and he rebuked that spirit and said, come out of her, you unclean spirit. So he doesn't perform any miracles? The other claim was that Paul could not possibly be a true apostle because he doesn't take money for preaching. And Paul did say it's okay for those that work in ministry to live of that ministry. He said those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So it's okay for people to pay Shelley. Other claim? Paul wasn't trained in Jerusalem. Wasn't trained in Jerusalem by the original apostles, so he possibly could not be an apostle. Well, let's see. Paul got the best trainer there was.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Knocked his butt off that horse on the road to Damascus. Got his attention in Acts chapter 9. Paul said, whoa, listen, I was one that like called out a season. You don't doubt who God called. You don't doubt who Lord Jesus appoints, because you don't know what the Lord did to bring that person to him. So they want to run their mouths. Look at verse 20. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or take advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. Paul said, listen, you want to put up with foolishness. You put up with people that even abuse you. But now when it comes to me, a true apostle, you don't want to believe me. You don't want to believe me. Say, to my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dare to boast about? I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Put 22 to the top. Do you know how? All right, go hit those little four blocks over there to the left. Right there. You learned. You got it. And then, obvious. The question comes up about Paul's ethnicity. What do I mean by that, everybody? His race. Are you a Jew? Well, we know you're not. You're just a white girl from Kansas. So he says, questions there, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. So they was even doubting if he even was one of theirs. Is that not what that's saying? Have anyone ever called you in mind about, my wife can't be a black woman, she's too red, she must be an Indian. I'm just throwing that out there. That probably wasn't the nicest thing to say, but there's somebody out here doubts you in some way, right? Okay. Then, verse 23, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. He said, I'm falling into their little games. They're really childlike games, aren't they? Because you know how kids are going to say, oh, you're not this and you're not that. And really immature stuff. And so that's why I said, you know, I must be out of my mind to even fall into this folly. Okay? Because Paul knows who he is and what he is for Jesus Christ. Don't you know who you are in Christ? Miss Marie, I apologize to you, but I had doubted that God had sent you on a mission to get our son free. But then when I seen the evidence, tears come up in my eyes and I'm going, shame on me. Because I thought she was working out of the flesh, out of her emotions. And I'm thinking, boy, she really going to mess things up. That boy is free.
Amen.
Uh-huh. She said God told her to go and set him free.
She did all the way there.
And let me tell you, her husband looked at me, he said, Sammy, I wouldn't get in her way because it ain't no stopping her now. And I go, oh, Lord, Maurice going to get sentenced to prison.
What did God have her do?
She went to the prosecutor.
She took Skylar a prosecutor.
And said, the man you got in jail didn't do this. This boy did it. And you need to set him free.
Yeah.
Something like that. I guess you were there. You heard what was said. I guess I'm just kind of animating it a little bit, but.
And they said, we need to take him back here.
We were on a mission.
And that's what she said. God, and she kept saying it to me over and over again. She said, Sammy, God has me on a mission. I can't tell you enough how sorry I am. You understand me? Because I know a little bit about the law. I'm thinking, oh boy, she's really going to, pardon the expression, screw things up.
He's going to prison.
Here's what she said. Well, if it puts him in prison, then I guess it puts him in prison. But I don't think it's going to get him out.
So, Miss Marie, you knew what God had placed in your heart to go and get that boy out of jail. This man saying, I know what I am. I know what Jesus Christ sent me to do. And people, I know what the Holy Ghost been saying to me these last few days. I have not been sleeping in my bed, not because I didn't want to sleep in my bed. It's because God has been talking to me and telling me in my spirit and in his word to tell y'all to stop sinning. Some of y'all are playing with him. To stop it. To tell people to look back again at sin in their lives and stop it because he's not pleased. And I'm sitting there, and the same time he's telling me to tell you all
to get back and stop looking at this so-called thing about grace only and line your life up and see if there's sin in it. And if so, stop it. Because his son is holy like he is. And his son, Jesus, is the one that's going to sit on the judgment seat. And he's going to judge sinners. Amen. And that's why I said earlier to a sweet, precious little daughter, Jesus, is, I said, I can't tell you you're going to lose your salvation because that's not my call. But I can tell you this, don't gamble with it. Don't take that risk. Walk in holiness and live. Love Jesus with all your heart. Get your teenage daughters, get your teenage sons, get your young men. No, tell them to stop playing with God. Because God knows what they're doing. Just like with you and me, God knows what we watch on television. He knows what we listen to in our cars. And he knows what we read, knows who we talk to, and what we do with people. Nothing escapes God's eyes. And we need to know this. So, Witness of Christ Ministry, those are here. The Lord is saying to us, be holy. Don't play with him anymore. Be holy. And if you find yourself struggling with a certain issue, tell him. Just be honest with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need help with this. I'm struggling, Lord. And then believe and watch Lord Jesus strengthen you and give you the strength by the Holy Ghost to live the way he called you. Because the price of the cross is too high for God's children to continue in sin.
Amen.
It's a living reality, Shelley. You cannot go to the same table as demons as with the table of God. You cannot do that, Emily. You cannot play with God, Vernon. You cannot. He knows who we are, Arve, and what we're doing. This man is calling people out. I'm telling y'all, he ain't playing. This man of God is calling false apostles out. They call him a false apostle when in fact they are the false apostles. Because they think they're better than he is. Let's take a look further. So they're doubting whether or not he's even part of the descendants of Abraham. Say, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to think like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequent, been flogged. Flogged means what? Beaten. You go, girl. Exactly. Means beaten. More severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. And I explained to y'all what those rods are. Once I was stoned. Remember he was stoned and left in the streets for dead? And the saints went around him in Iconium. Y'all remember me preaching that? And when they stood around him, the Holy Ghost did what to him? Revived him. And then he went right back into the city. Wow. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. How would you like to be treading water for your life? All day and all night. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city. Bring 26 to the top, Vernon. You got to reconcile. So I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country, in danger at sea, and and a danger from false brothers. I want to ask you a question. Which of the apostles went through that? Can you tell me? Because the only one we know of that was, he was beheaded, that was James, by Herod Antipas. None of the apostles had suffered at this point in time like this man. For Jesus Christ. That would be later, Peter.
How about Stephen?
And that's a myth, they're not so sure if that's accurate.
Stephen
was stoned.
Yeah.
But Paul is saying, and Paul was at Stephen's, Paul consented to Stephen's death. Mm-hmm. And held the coats of the men who stoned Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
He was a young man then. And it's amazing how God allowed what went around. But y'all like to say what goes around?
Comes around.
Yeah, that's right.
Now he's preaching the gospel and now he's getting his butt whipped.
Mm-hmm.
But the man is saying, you want to call me a false apostle? Then why all this happening to me? Why isn't it happening to the rest of them? Not necessarily not saying it like that, but he's pointing out the difference. And I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. It took some laboring to go from city to city, from nation to nation. He went from country to country, oftentimes walking. And the level in those areas, if you look at the geographics of Turkey, Western Turkey,
desert,
but hill. Almost like, but what? Mountainous. So you're talking about he's going up hills like this and down. And that brother had to work.
Besides when he was on sea, was he on foot?
Yes!
His missionary journey.
That's what we're saying, yes. So he labored to get the gospel from town to town. Not just some weeks, but some years. And we don't even want to get in our car and drive halfway across town to Bible study. Unless we're the teacher, because we want to be seen. I'm the teacher. That's me. That's my trophy. I'm the teacher. Right? We want to show up then because we want people to hear us because now we got something to say. But what if you're the student? Are you going to show up then? Now, I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food, and I have been cold and naked. Has that happened to any of you all for the gospel?
No.
But I guarantee you somebody made you mad. This is what happened to you. You got in your car and you left. Say, I'm never going back to that church again. Or you want to get on the phone and you talk. Say, do you know what so-and-so did? I even saw some voice there. Concerns on Facebook in a manner that. And I did that once when the second church hurt our family. No, third church, I blasted them on Facebook. I just had enough, and I was in my flesh. And I thought I tried to keep it as clean as possible without being mean-spirited with it. But a brother in Christ got a hold of me, 101. And that man of God had enough courage to tell me, he said, Sammy, I understand you're angry, but you shouldn't have never done that. And don't you do that again to God's people. Say, no, still God's people. And God's going to get them for that. But he's going to get you if you don't respect his people. I say, you're right. I said, I've already asked the Lord to forgive me. I won't do that again. And I haven't. At least as far as I know, I haven't. So, Brother Amelia, anybody kick your butt lately?
My wife.
I guess I asked for that one.
But we won't get into that.
She said you were honorary, by the way, when you're walking in the door.
No. Oh, now you're going to tell her.
Now I'm going to tell her. Put your business in the streets.
That's why she's good for me.
Verna, anybody slap you for being a Christian? Shelly, has anybody spit in your face for being a Christian?
No, but they've said some stuff.
Blake, has anybody knifed you for being a Christian? So basically, we have it made, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We got it made. So, only time you get cold, Chris, is when you're in here at Bible study.
It's the air conditioner.
I would say what older people say, put on some more clothes.
This last time in Africa was pretty cold. It feels
like so, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You know what? He said, you know what? In spite of going through all of this, I still care for the churches. I still care. In spite of things that has happened in my family in the past several years in ministry, and I know with the work of the enemy, I genuinely do still care for every one of these churches in town. I care what happened to God's people. And I care what happened to sinners. And whether you know it or not, some of the friends that you talk to and they tell you that they and God are okay, they're lying to you. Things are not right with them in God because things are not right with them in Jesus. Even though they have a profession of faith, they're not living it. That's why you need to challenge your friends and say, are you really a Christian? And I don't care how pretty she may look or how handsome he may be. You need to ask the hard question. Are you really living for Jesus? Because anybody can say they love Jesus. But is all of this showing it? She know I love her. So, verse 29, who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. Look. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you're immune to sin. Paul said, I know this. And that's why I burn within me. I have passion within me for your true salvation. He said, I'm concerned about you. So you don't think I care that you are out here dabbing with the devil and not walking with Christ? So I care about what happens to you. Pull 30 to the top. And then reconcile it, please. So if I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmity. He said, okay, if I need to brag, you know how some people just need you to tell them that they're good? You know, and in psychology, we say, and I hate saying that, we say they're feeding their ego. You know, people need to have their ego fed. They're egocentric. You know what they mean by that, egocentric? You should know that. Yeah, basically, yeah. And they got to be, we say in Greek language, got to be stroked all the time. And got to be feel good. When I was in the Army, we used to, when you ever walk in a guy, a sergeant's office, and he have all his plaques on the wall and all the certificates in the war, you know what we used to call them?
That's my feel me good wall. Okay? Because you make yourself feel good when you can look up there and like, look what I've done.
The love me wall.
A love me wall, they also call it that. Okay, that's a good one. You got a love me wall, Brother Amelia?
Not yet. No.
You got one? Okay. You have one? But people do say, why do you think I took all, I had a bunch of stuff, boy, I had a love me wall all over that front up there. Did I not, Shelly? And I took that and said, whoa, this is not about Jesus. Let me take this junk down.
Well, I didn't have a wall, but I did have a house or a room, love me room.
Mm-hmm.
But a wall, no, a bunch of walls.
Gotcha. But anyway,
I didn't ask my wife to get rid of all that stuff. It was all mine.
I guess the closest to the love me wall I had, and I did have a bunch of stuff up done in my studies. But you know what my love me wall was in the most recent times?
Your family.
I love my family, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I love showing my books from seminary.
Oh.
Because it made me feel smart. And I wanted people to know, boy, I got an education. You know what I mean? And so since I got an education, I must be somebody.
Mine was all junk. That's what she said all the time.
No, I seen your junk, Shed.
Oh, now you're going to agree with that.
But I like what was in your shed. So I was a little jealous. But anyway, you got people they got to be told, hey, you're doing a good job, in order to percolate them and keep them going, you know? And if they don't get that, they get mad at the world. Get the bad mouth. You think you somebody? In the scripture, we had a couple of people that was like that too. They got mad at their baby brother. God don't only talk to you, he talked to us too. Anybody know those two people? Good try, baby, but it was Miriam and Aaron, Moses' older brother and sister. And that thing frustrated the heart of God. And God says, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, to the tent of meetings now. Uh-oh. And God read them. That's what y'all like to say called told off. He read Aaron and Miriam. And since she was an instigator, God made her a leper. Right then and there. You don't mess with God's anointed. And that's what they were doing. So, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Asuerus had the city of Damascusans guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. Remember when Paul first got saved, word got out, and they had to let him down over the wall in a basket? Go back to Acts chapter 9. And so, it was out for him. Put chapter 12 to the top. We'll talk a little bit about this and close in prayer and go home. Yep. No, right here. Put chapter 12 to the top. Go back down and do what you normally do to bring a verse up to the top. Put chapter 12 to the top. Reconcile it. All right. So, you want to know my qualifications? You want to doubt my qualifications as an apostle? You say that God didn't work through me? Well, let me show you. Are y'all ready for this next phase? Mm-hmm. So, he's going to show us a dimension that had not been shown before to Gentiles. Y'all ready for this? Brother Amelia, no cutting up now. It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to vision and revelations of the Lord. In other words, Paul said, I'm about to show you something. You want some evidence of me being a true apostle? Here it is. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Paul is now speaking in the third person about who? Himself. And he's saying that you don't think God works through me? He said, let me tell you something. 14 years ago, this is what happened to me. I was taken out of my earthly body, I believe. He said, I couldn't tell you whether I was actually having a vision or God actually brought my entire body to the third heaven. What is the third heaven? It is heaven, heaven, God's throne. Okay? The third heaven. He said, I don't know if I was having a vision or if God actually took me there. And if he took me there, I don't know if he just brought my spirit there or he brought my entire body there. The other way, I was there. Okay? Now that's pretty hooray, isn't it? What God did, what Lord Jesus did with this man. In other words, everybody, the Spirit of God does not do that unless God got a purpose for it.
Is that the same like Enoch?
Enoch went and stayed.
I know, but I mean the same way.
He yeah, just took him up.
No matter how he took him up.
Took him up. So now he's going to brag a little bit. He said, I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. He says this twice. Was caught up to paradise. Paradise, the Greek word for paradise. Look over here. This is the word. Okay. That was pretty fancy, brother. All right. Paradise was caught up to paradise. Right here, paradison. Does that sound familiar? Similar? Paradise, paradison? In other words, want me to give you a better translation of it? I was caught up to the garden. That is the same word used in Genesis chapter 2. And God made a garden. And God made paradise. That's where we get the garden from in Genesis chapter 2 there. It comes from this Greek word, paradison. So he's in the garden of God. In other words, he is in heaven. Remember the thief on the cross? He said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And what did Lord Jesus say to him? He said, today you shall be with me in paradise, paradison. Awesome. Okay. Is it getting good to you? The Lord good to you in this teaching? We go for about 15 more minutes. We'll shut off at 7:30. I was hoping that the clan would be back by then, because usually she rolls back in here around 7:30. Is that all right with you all? So, Brother Amelia, it said, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Now, everybody, other words, I can't tell you what I heard. Who would later say something like that? Let's see how sharp y'all are. Who? Yes, John in Revelation. You go, Shelly. You go, Chris. Yes, you go. Whew. I love it when the Holy Ghost works through you and you're listening. Now, and he said, what? That's not lawful for me to express these things. Said that man is not permitted to tell. You remember a certain thing? Also, who else was shown something like this back in the Old Testament? And he was told, he said, close up the book. He said it will be revealed in the end times.
Did Isaiah?
Daniel. The angel told Daniel, the book has been sealed. It's closed up until the end times. So Paul said, I saw things. I heard things coming from the throne of God that I'm not allowed to tell you. You mean to him, you hold some keys to the kingdom? Oh, yes. I heard some things that you cannot hear. I'm not allowed to tell. How would you like to be the only human on earth at this time to know what this man knows? Because remember, this is about 30 plus years before John would write Revelation. Are you hearing me, everybody? So it's a possibility that this man heard things that God would later reveal to John before John would hear them. From Jesus. Is everybody following me? Isn't it good to understand scripture from the Holy Spirit? It absolutely is. So Emily, there are times that God's going to say something to you and you better keep your mouth shut. Seal it up. And you're going to know what's going to happen, but you can't say anything. This is Paul. Yes, Miss Vicky. What do you think probably would have happened to him if he'd have tried to tell it? I think God would have ended it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But these experiences that he's had could have helped him to get through all the troubles that he went through to keep him moving forward.
Yeah, they strengthened him. Lord Jesus used those things to strengthen him. Because you remember, what's about to come out of this chapter is Jesus going to tell him some stuff. Also, I can't wait to get there. I better shut my mouth and move on. Okay? Because there's a false teaching just about this that's going to come up. And y'all going to identify with the false teaching. And you're going to know that it's false teaching. The moment you see these words, let me move on. Ready? Let's move on. So he said, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Otherwise, he said, if I want to brag, I'm going to tell you how God helped me in my weakness, okay? That's what infirmities mean, those struggles, those hardships that he'd been through. He said, I'll boast on that, but for the other things that God is doing, he said, the glory goes to God. I can't brag on those things. That's Jesus. That belonged to Jesus, not to me. Vernon put 6 to the top. And we need to move right along because I really, why it's peace and quiet for those kids get here. I want to give y'all this. So I better speak. Tell them to go down to Santa Fe and then just turn left.
Just go to Pope.
Okay. Anyway, it says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. But I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hear of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Okay, here you go. Verse 7. Do you see preachers that can preach powerful messages and the Holy Ghost just fall on a place and things just begin to happen supernaturally? And then people want to take that man of God and put him up on a pedestal, right? Paul said, Who can move a church better than Paul can in our day? Only Jesus, because the Holy Ghost was the one who working through this man. But you do have some powerful preachers of today in the Holy Ghost, okay? But Paul said, let me tell you something about this. It is not my place to get the glory. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. He said, because what I know and reveal it, but people are going to go, oh, look at Paul, look at Paul, look at Paul. He go, Look here. Then it goes,
there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And here's where the false teachings come in at. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, God allows something to harass Paul to keep his mouth shut, to keep him from going up here, to have the big head, and people everywhere you go. And I see people want to follow certain men and certain women. And it's almost like they want to kiss the ground that they walk on. Because the way they preach and the way they can draw thousands. And Paul said, no, to keep that from happening, God allows Satan to give me a thorn in my flesh. And so, you know what some people, the false teaching, they say, oh, it was Paul's eyesight. He had bad eyes, so God, that was a thorn in the flesh. I want to tell you what the thorn is. If you will listen to me a moment. You see that word messenger, Brother Amelia? You see that, Chrissy? Messenger of Satan. Okay, I want to say a word and you figure out what it sounds like. I'm going to give it to you in the Greek and you see if you can figure it out. Angelos. Huh?
Angel?
Yes. An angel of Satan. What is that? A demon. Dutch. Anbote Santanas.
Satan.
An angel of Satan. A messenger of Satan. Anna is A, Bolton is messenger or angel. A Satan's. Satan. And they're glad to. Thank you, Shelly. She said, wonderful.
I thought it was boom.
Oh, you better quit.
Yeah, they said it was like weepy eyes.
Yeah.
Weepy eyes.
But what did the text say? What did Paul say it was?
A demon.
It was a demon. A demon sent to harass him, to keep him humble. Because he told her, unless he be what? What? Exalted. What's the opposite of exaltation? Humility. The answers are in the text. An angel, remember we told y'all, when you think about angels, make sure you're thinking about what? The right one. Remember in the previous chapter, he told you, don't be surprised that Satan can transform himself into what?
Beautiful.
An angel of light. So therefore, it's no great thing that he have angels of or ministers of righteousness. They masquerade as righteous people. Okay? So, is this getting good for you now? So he said, you all want to brag? I got something to brag about, but I won't. Why? Because that's not what God wants for me. It's taking God's glory when we brag and when people exalt us beyond where we're supposed to be. I think as Peter says, humble yourself in the sight of God and he will exalt you in due time. Now, if it's not befitting for God's Son to exalt himself, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul said, Jesus remained obedient. He humbled himself and remained obedient even to death on a cross. So God's Son never did exalt himself. But then at the end of that, he said, but God highly exalted him by giving him a name that's above what?
All
names. So, you know, if God don't want that for his own son when he was a human down here, how much he's not going to allow you to have it? And you wonder why certain churches are not moving in the spirit? Sometimes you got to look at what they're doing at the pulpit. Stop putting men and women on pedestals in these churches and start putting Jesus Christ back to his rightful position in the church on his throne.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And this great man of God said, I refuse to be put on a pedestal. So I refuse to even put myself there because I know And they say, and God gave me a little help. He allowed Satan to send an angel, in other words, a demon, to do what? To harass him. Let's look at the rest of that, and then we'll get ready to close. So, he said, lest I be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Otherwise, he said, I sought God three times. I asked the Lord three times to take this demon away from me. Did he? Let's take a look. And you know, it's amazing in German, you know, God just gave me the gift of interpretation of tongues. Did y'all see that? I didn't know what that word was in German. It's been a long time since I had German, and I don't think I was that clever at it. But it just did. Three languages I just pointed out to y'all that it was an angel, a messenger of Satan. In Greek, in German, English. That's from the Holy Ghost, Brother Amelia. In verse 8 it says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, and here it is, Chrissy, when we don't think God is answering our prayers, he has answered them. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ says to Paul in verse 9. He says, and he said to me, my grace is what?
Sufficient.
What does that mean? I'm not taking them from you, but I'm going to make sure you get through it. You're going to live with this. What? I'm going to carry you through it. In other words, you're going to have to hang on to this one. When I don't think I ever told my wife this. When they found out what was happening with my heart, and I was in the lab, and the lab tech drew my blood, and I went to get up, and he said, no, sir. And he was from the island, so he spoke with that island accent. He said, you mind, stay there. And I said, okay. He said, no, not you, man. You, man, you sit, you stay. It's all right. And he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a bottle of anointing oil. Now, this is a lab tech.
Oh, wow.
And he took my hands and he anointed me. He said, man of God, God said he's not going to take this from you, but he's going to see you through it.
Yeah.
Yes! Right there in the hospital lab. And I'm standing there, and I'm dumbfounded because what do you think I'm concerned about right now? My heart is weighted with what's going on in here with this. Okay? It's been 7 years since that day. A little over 7 years that has happened. And God has been with me every step of the way.
Amen.
Every step of the way. So God said to this man, Lord Jesus, put 9 to the top so we can finish this up and go home. Put 9 to the top. It's a powerful message for all of you today that's going through something. And that's going to go through something. Here it come. Right at the pinnacle finishing. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, or for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you hear that? When you're weak, Jesus said, he is strong.
That's right.
Okay? Then he goes on to say to you and I, not only is he says, my grace is sufficient, otherwise my favor for your life is enough. Okay? But my strength is made perfect when you're weak. And Paul said, so because of that, I most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What? He said, I'm going to rejoice in my suffering so that Jesus Christ's power can be on me.
Amen.
So it's been many days. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. But you do. I don't know what we're going to do about money for this building. Because the owner wants answers. She's think that, I guess in a sense, I'm stabbing her in the back. But I'm not. But I do know that God has a place for us. And I do know the Lord Jesus Christ wants to grow this ministry. I do know he wants other people to hear this gospel and be taught the gospel untainted. Turn the lights on, someone, please. And so, the man just took us to a level in Christ Jesus that the church had never been to before. God will take you places where he's never taken you before. And when he shows you things, some things you just can't tell. And some battles in the spirit world, Lord Jesus said, I'm not going to rescue you from them. I'm going to leave you in the battle, but I'm going to be there with you. Sir?
I'll carry you through.
He said, I'll carry you through it. You're going to fight. We're going to fight this battle together. And so, we're touched by the Lord in this. And we'll pick up again next week where we left off in verse 10. Them false apostles are getting an earful now, aren't they? They picked the wrong man of God to pick on. And let's hurry up because I want to close in prayer now. Because y'all supposed to do a little practice now. All right, let me shut my mouth so I can go sit with the kids while y'all do y'all thing. Huh? Speak out so I can understand you. Okay. Father, bow your heads with me. In the name of Jesus, dear Lord, we thank you for the true teaching of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we're not to brag on ourselves, Lord Jesus, but brag on you, to give you the glory. And that even in our weakness, we're made strong by you, so that your power can rest upon us and that we can brag on you. Now, Lord, until we meet again, we ask that your spirit continue to be with us and help us, Lord, to resist temptation and to forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, before anybody talk, let me turn this off real quick. And so, once again, we remind people around the world. And by the way, my son and I looked at the podcast who is reaching. It's reaching people in the Philippines, Germany, Kenya, a couple other countries that I would have never thought. Oh, yeah, that's a different country, isn't it? Now, I wasn't being funny. I wasn't being funny, sweetie. I was being facetious that the Lord is at work getting his word out.
Amen.
And but yet, we need to let people know. Boys and girls, real quick, hear this. That Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation.
Amen.
There's no other way besides Jesus. And man have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin must be dealt with. We must come to Jesus, confess our sins, believe he is the Son of God, and that God sent him. And they died on the cross and paid that price for our sin, and God raised them from the dead. And not only are we to believe this, we're to trust in it. Give our lives over 100%.
the Lord Jesus and his commands.
Amen.
To Father be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.